Have you ever wondered how a line buried in a 1976 scholarly article about Puritan funeral sermons ended up on Taylor Swift's t-shirt? When Harvard historian Laurel Thatcher Ulrich wrote, "Well-behaved women seldom make history," she was analyzing how virtuous colonial women, the hidden ones, as Cotton Mather called them, lived pious lives hoping for heavenly rewards rather than earthly recognition. History forgot them entirely. But her observation escaped academic confines, appearing on everything from bumper stickers to Michelle Obama speeches. The slogan's journey began quietly when journalist Kay Mills used it as an epigraph in 1995, then exploded after Jill Portugal printed it on t-shirts in 1996. Today, it's embraced by political activists and sweet potato queens alike, computer scientists and nursing home coordinators. Its ambiguity fuels its appeal. Some see a call for rebellion, others a celebration that bad girls have more fun. This accidental fame gave Ulrich unique insights. While some women contemplated feminism's demise, others were just discovering it. The phrase resonates because it plays into stereotypes about female invisibility and decorum, yet its widespread adoption proves its central point. Women who challenge conventions are the ones remembered. People interpret "well-behaved women seldom make history" differently. A Los Angeles manager initially found it disrespectful until learning its context, then paired it with images of Queen Elizabeth I and Joan of Arc. The real question is how women make history at all. Marie Curie didn't win Nobel Prizes through tantrums, but through excellence. Yet her achievement isn't seen as well-behaved because women aren't supposed to stand out. History isn't just what happened, but what later generations choose to remember. Making history requires doing the unexpected, like Rosa Parks refusing to give up her bus seat. Though portrayed as a humble seamstress whose tired feet sparked revolution, Parks was actually the politically conscious NAAC secretary who had attended desegregation workshops. Her publicly acknowledged good behavior justified her rebellion, proving that even breaking rules requires strategic respectability. Three remarkable women separated by centuries, Christine de Pizan, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and Virginia Woolf, challenged women's exclusion from history after confronting misogynistic texts. In Paris around 1400, Christine de Pizan despaired at pervasive misogyny until experiencing a vision of three radiant women, Lady Reason, Lady Rectitude, and Lady Justice, who helped her build a metaphorical city preserving good women's fame. Her Book of the City of Ladies populated this city with queens, warriors, poets, and inventors. In Johnstown, New York, around 1825, young Elizabeth Cady learned in her father's law office that married women were civilly dead under law. When law students teased that her possessions could be taken by her husband, she planned to cut the offensive statutes from his law books. Her father gently explained that destroying books wouldn't change laws. She should persuade legislators instead. Elizabeth vowed to do just that, eventually traveling across America advocating for women's rights. In London in 1928, Virginia Woolf researched why women were poor compared to men. Angered by texts on female inferiority, she concluded that with money and a room of her own, she would write her own books. Each woman transformed her experience into groundbreaking work challenging narrow definitions of womanhood. The Amazon, the female warrior who defies gender expectations, has captivated imagination across cultures. In classical mythology, Amazons fought Greeks, ruled kingdoms, and gave away male babies. Queen Elizabeth I rallied troops habited like an Amazonian queen, while Shakespeare used Amazon as an insult for Joan of Arc. Today, it describes athletes, soldiers, comic book heroines, or bookstore owners. The Dahomey Women's Army offers a historical example that evolved during the Atlantic slave trade, with kings reserving female captives for palace guards while selling more profitable male slaves. Though called ahosi, or wives of the king, these women weren't free. Oral histories tell of girls jumping into wells to avoid conscription. Yet many thrived, taking pride in their abilities. In Greek mythology, Amazons destabilized male heroism. After killing Queen Penthesilea in battle, Achilles discovers her beauty and wishes he had made her his bride instead. Political scientist Joshua Goldstein's research reveals that men's dominance in military roles exceeds what biological differences would predict. Culture, not biology, creates the connection between manhood and war. In 1978, feminist Mary Daly reclaimed Amazon as a positive identity. Throughout history, female combatants have demonstrated bravery while challenging gender norms, and their legacy often transcends their original causes. Virginia Woolf invented Shakespeare's sister Judith to explain the absence of female writers, a fictional woman beaten for refusing marriage who fled to London, was seduced, abandoned, and killed herself. Yet women writers thrived in Shakespeare's time. Between 1611 and 1621, Elizabeth Cary published the first original drama by an English woman, Amelia Lanier, the first country house poem, Mary Roth, the first prose fiction, and Rachel Spite, the first signed polemic. Three real talented women developed their gifts despite obstacles. Lanier, born to a Venetian musician, became a Lord Chamberlain's mistress at 18, then a published poet by 42. Cary, a child prodigy in multiple languages, used her husband's absences to develop literary talents. Gentileschi's Judith Beheading Holofernes depicts the biblical heroine mid-murder, blood raining on bedsheets. Their success required more than talent. They needed supportive fathers, proper training, and powerful patrons. In autumn 1839, Elizabeth Cady met runaway slave Harriet Powell in a hidden attic, hearing horrific tales of being sold in New Orleans markets. This preceded Cady's defiant marriage to abolitionist Henry Stanton. At the World Anti-Slavery Convention in London, where women were barred as delegates, she embraced feminism, declaring all women slaves to male authority. Though privileged white women weren't enslaved, Stanton's rhetoric shattered sentimental notions of female dependency. Slave narratives revealed how slavery violated every norm of womanhood. Slave women labored in fields rather than homes, were denied religious instruction, separated from children, and threatened with sexual violence. America's women's rights movement paradoxically emerged from middle-class women's piety. Religious revivalism energized women to form missionary societies and sewing circles where they gained organizational skills, writing constitutions, electing officers, managing funds. When Congress imposed the gag rule against women's anti-slavery petitions, women grew more determined, proving that women's rights and abolition became inseparably intertwined. Virginia Woolf called her Anon, the unnamed woman who created poetry, songs, and art without recognition. In the 1970s, Sally Fox documented medieval women's lives through illuminated manuscripts, discovering images of women shearing sheep, blacksmithing, mining, and building. These religious calendars influenced secular almanacs used by ordinary people like Maine midwife Martha Ballard, whose diary recorded seasonal work patterns. Alice Walker expanded Woolf's insights in Search of Our Mother's Gardens, arguing feminists should look high and low. She cited quilts made by ex-slaves and her mother's flower gardens, where her mother became radiant, almost to the point of being invisible, except as creator, hand, and eye. The Pomo Indians demonstrate how women preserve cultural heritage despite oppression. Annie Burke learned basket making from her mother and grandmother despite government schools punishing native language use. Her daughter Elsie Allen broke tradition by teaching Pomo techniques publicly after seeing Chinese people proudly sharing their heritage. History isn't just made by queens and warriors. It's made by every woman who refuses to let her work disappear through diaries, letters, or naming children. Where once only a handful of notable women existed in print, now crowds of women, inventors, activists, pilots, physicians, assembly line workers, housewives, servants, and slaves are documented.